Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Is It Just Me, the podcast that is essentially a lot of waffle that'll make you feel a lot better about yourself. I don't know about you, but we're recording on a Monday, and
quality waffle.
Myself, James Williams, and the other one who is...
Yeah, that's me.
Joe Elvin. Yeah. We're having a bit of a Morrissey Monday, as my friends would call it. It feels a bit miserable, doesn't it?
Yeah,
today?
But we're not racist.
We're not.
No.
Well, Morrissey is miserable, though.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. It
says really horrible racist things.
Oh, does he? Yeah, no, we're not like that. Yeah. But anyway, but we are going to have... A lovely time for the next 40 minutes or so because we are joined by a lovely lady. She's like, she radiates sunshine, I feel.
she's doing it right now.
She is. She's making me feel better just looking at her face. She is an author. She's a TV presenter. She's well on her way to being a national treasure, I would argue. She's a loose woman. What more could you ask? And she's joining us today. It's the lovely Andrew McLean.
Thank you so much.
It is
much.
McLean, right?
It is McLean. Thank you so
not
much.
Not McLean.
No.
And is it Andrea, not Andrea?
I'll answer to anything, to be honest.
All right.
Over the years, I've been called Angela, Audra... Who? I get a lot. Who?
That loose woman.
Yeah.
That loose woman over there.
You're that loose woman. I get, you're that loose woman. And then I get, you're the one at the end.
Oh.
For years, I'm just the one at the end.
The one at the end.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's
things to be called.
Yeah,
to be
that, fair. That makes you a bit of a permanent fixture, I'd say.
It does.
Well
that's
done.
My seat. Yeah.
Now, but also, I mean, how many years have you been at loose swimming? Because this shocked me when I heard this the other day. How long have you been there?
400.
12 years
non-stop, because the show itself has been going for nearly 20, and there's a lot of people who have obviously been there on and off for during that time. I've literally just been there the
whole
time.
So do you hold the record now for the longest?
Yes. Wow. Longest time, most amount of shows.
Wow.
I didn't plan that.
Well, I know, because do you remember when you used to write to me? But we'd never talked about it. I haven't even told James.
Oh, my God.
I was the editor of B Magazine, having a frankly miserable time. And Andrea was writing me letters saying, I'm doing the weather on, was it?
GMTV.
GMTV. I'm not sure if I want to stay in presenting. I'd love to work on magazines. And I was sort of like, I think I wrote back and I was sort of going, I don't know if I said this to you, but I was thinking, you do not want to work here, girl. You do not want, if I was on the telly, I would not want to give it up for this. I mean, because it was a tough job. It was like really understaffed, really underpaid, all of those things. I ended up getting fired from it. It was just like a bad fit for me. And I just...
Well, you were saving me.
I couldn't. Yeah. I couldn't drag anybody else in who actually had a really good job and a really good career prospect. Sorry if I did give you a job on B, but you know. But yeah.
But that was your sliding doors moment, Andrea.
Yeah.
And look at you now.
Well, do you know what's really interesting is pretty much every job that I've ever got is not the job I went for, because.
That's nice to hear, I think, for lots of people out there.
It's never worked out the way that I expected it to. Like, for example, working in telly was not the job that I went for. I moved to London in 94 with literally everything I owned in the back of my mum's Fiesta. And I slept on floors, and then I got a bed sit and all that to put myself through journalism college and all that sort of thing. And these were in the days where there was no mobile phones, no nothing. And literally it was putting 50p in
it. I was there.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
Those cobwebby old dark days. And you know, literally it was 50p in a meter to keep warm. And if you ran out of money on a Sunday and there was nowhere to get 50p, it was dark and cold. And you just, when I think back on it now, yeah, my family bathroom is bigger than the room. Not saying we have a huge family bathroom.
Crazy,
but to give
it?
You an idea, the room was so small you couldn't fit a bed in it. So they put a mattress on top of the cupboard, and not in a chic IKEA way. And I had to kind of post myself to bed every night. And because I didn't know anybody and I was on my own in London, and this bedsit place that I'd rented this room. I don't know why I'm telling you all this. This isn't how it started. Anyway, I was so lonely. There was somebody lived in the room next door. I never met them ever, but I could hear him through the wall, and I would lie, and I'd literally lie against the wall and close my eyes and pretend he was there. Never met him. Aww. No idea what he looked like. God. Just to pretend there was, because I'm living in London all by myself. So I went to journalism school and, you know, and did all that. And eventually I got a job working for a features agency. And you know what it's like when you apply for everything and you don't even really read the advert. You just go, yep, I can do that. And you send it. It was the old days again of physically writing a letter.
Oh, yes. Mm.
And this letter came back to me saying, can you pass on a phone number because da-da-da wants to ring you? And I thought, oh, okay. So I passed on. It was my work number at the time. And this woman rang me really annoyed. Can I speak to Andrew McLean? Speaking. I've been told to give you a ring because apparently you've applied to be a weather presenter. And I was, you clearly got the wrong number. What? And she said, and you haven't even sent in a showreel. I said, I don't even know what a showreel is. Well, I'm so sorry. What is this? And I'd applied for, and it was, thinking back on it now, it was something along the lines of a journalist, on-screen presence, interest in, and I thought, yeah, journalist. Yeah. I can do that. Yeah, whatever. And they'd asked for a photo. And I didn't have any photos, but I'd been backpacking. That's how I'd got into writing. I was a travel writer and used to send stuff off and pester people like you. And, you know, and I'd sent a photo of me in Australia. And so I got called in. She went, you haven't even got a showreel. And so I went in and it happened to be on a day off. So I pitched up thinking, well, I can write about this as an experience. What's it like to audition to be a weather presenter? I'll use it as that. When they briefed us, because I knew shorthand, I managed to get the whole brief down. And they just went, look in there and say everything you've just heard. I just found it quite easy. And in the end, the woman who was so mean to me, she called me into the office and she went, I'm really sorry I was so horrible to you. Actually, you're brilliant. Would you like to do this?
Amazing.
And I said, well, no, because I've actually already got a job, but thank you very much. He said, we don't have anything right now anyway, but can I keep your name on files? Like, yeah, okay. 2 years later, luckily I was still working at the same place, because I didn't have any mobile or anything. They rang me. It was a different person. Hi, your name's been passed on as someone to do you want to come in for a chat? And by then I was production editor. And as you know, being production editor is the most thankless job.
Oh God, it's so stressful.
I was stressed.
That's trying to make everybody else do their work and get it done.
Deadlines.
Yes. Yeah. And because I was a really good sub, a really good writer, a really good deputy, when I became editor, I thought everyone else would be as nice as me. And they weren't. They were like, ha, you're the one who does all the dog's body stuff. So suddenly I was doing everything. So when this call came, I thought, yeah, okay. And I got it. And I ended up working for the Weather Channel in America. Who had an office based over here, got made redundant from that job just as it was going really well. But GMTV had an opening and it opened up. And I only got invited in for that interview because I looked like the editor's girlfriend and they called me in as a joke.
What?
We laugh about it now. I've met the then editor.
How brilliant, though, when disgusting sexism kind of works in your favour.
Yeah. Well, I turned up not knowing they'd got me in as a joke. And I'm all bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, unemployed. And they sat me and they're looking at me and laughing. And I was thinking, you know, like
funny?
You do, like this. And they're going, yeah, she does, doesn't she? She really, God, it's uncanny. And yes, it was because I looked like the editor's then girlfriend. They went, oh, while you're here, you might as well audition.
And then aced it, surely. You must have done. You got the job.
Well, do you know what I did? Was I did get the job, but I got the job until they could find someone who they really wanted. And so then they did find someone who they really wanted, but he couldn't do the job. So I trained him because I already knew what to do. They gave him the job, but he turned out he wasn't very good at it.
Speechless.
And so they then asked me to come back and fill in. And what I did was I kept really quiet for 11 years. And I stayed.
Mm. What do you mean?
well, they kept looking for someone else, and in the end, they just got bored of me.
And were they sort
of
like quite blatant about that? Yeah. That's so TV, isn't it? It's like, we don't really want you, but we'll have you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But after a little while, and they kind of went, oh, well, you can stay because you can clearly do it. I kind of raised my head enough to think, I think I could actually remind them that I'm here now and not get fired. And I went to see them and said, look, you probably don't really know this because I've not really spoken about it, but I'm actually a journalist. And if there's any other stuff going, can I do it? So what I used to do was a week on of weather, and then my other weeks, because I had another weather presenter there, I would do features reporting. And that was where I learned how to take that skill and put it with that skill. And then that was how I ended up learning how to be a tele presenter.
You are tenacious AF.
But it's interesting to say about you. In a weird way, do you really feel like it took a long time for you to really literally find your voice then, in terms of being more visible and being heard?
Yeah, but I think the thing was, because I got into telly not from a place of ambition, I constantly felt like I wasn't doing the job I was supposed to be doing, hence why I kept pestering you.
Well, you didn't pester me at all, actually. You were, you know, always very, very sweet, but I always felt bad that I just didn't think it was a good move for you. Mm. I just really didn't.
She wouldn't have wished it on you.
And maybe that's sort of an arrogance, but I remember thinking, no way would someone who's been on the telly want to come and work in this place where they tried to make us all bring our own toilet paper in at one point.
Oh, my God. But I always find it really weird. I always find it really strange when people are leaving a job where you know they're really miserable, and they're not only they're just about to get out the door, and then they're made to find their own replacement. And I'm like, that's a really shitty pact, because you're like, how can you knowingly try to lure somebody somewhere where you weren't very happy and you can't wait to get it? It's a very strange thing, I think.
But that is weirdly what telly's like.
Yeah. But look at you now, about to become a solo performer.
I know. Yeah. Well, talk about getting out of your comfort zone. I mean, obviously, you know, you've done live TV now for years, but...
23 years.
Wow. You don't look old enough, you see.
I know.
No. Oh. But you are, so for everyone that doesn't know, you wrote a very successful book, we should point out. First of all, if anyone hasn't heard about the book, I mean, obviously, I'm a man, it's probably not aimed at me.
Yeah.
But obviously, for lots of the ladies listening out there, they probably will be familiar with your book.
Well, this is actually my second book. My first book was a Sunday Times number one bestseller, which I'm really proud of.
If you don't mind.
Which I'm really proud of.
I would
because, be. Yeah, it's a brilliant achievement. And that was called Confessions of a Good Girl, because basically I kept being told, oh, you're too nice, you're too good, there's gonna be an edge, and there's not an edge. I'm actually just very straightforward. And people see that as being too nice, and I'm not. What you see is what you get. This is it.
It's so great that people are unnerved in the entertainment and television business by somebody who doesn't have a nasty
there's
side.
There isn't. So I wrote that about what it's like, because I grew up in the Caribbean. I had a very bizarre, random childhood. So I spoke about that and breaking into telly unintentionally and being the that'll do girl.
Do I get a mention in that book?
No.
Oh. If I'd given her a job, you wouldn't have. Then your destiny would have been ultimately altered, and you wouldn't have been able to write the book because you'd have been stuck in a basement buying your own loo roll for some magazine job. Yeah.
But so the second book, I'll tell you how that came about, was completely different. In 2016. I, for various long drawn out medical reasons, needed to have a hysterectomy, and I needed to have a full hysterectomy. Now, a lot of people might think all hysterectomies are created equal, and they're not. Basically, I had to have everything removed, and that means my ovaries as well. I had cysts on my ovaries and all sorts of other horrible things. And what that means is you go into full surgical menopause. Now, I've had lots of people say to me, oh, you have a hysterectomy, aren't you lucky? That means you don't go through the menopause. It's actually the other way around. You've had your engine removed. So imagine if, I don't know, you have your adrenal glands removed. Suddenly you don't have any adrenaline. Imagine if you're diabetic and you have, I can't remember what organ it is, but it's like that. You have nothing that produces any of your estrogen or what have you. I wasn't going to tell anyone because I thought, it's really personal. I've cleared it with the bosses and all this sort of thing, but no one else really needs to know this. And also, because I'll go into full menopause, everyone will think I'm old and I might lose my job. And so I didn't want to tell anybody. And we were sitting in
Can I just ask, how old were you when this was all happening?
46.
Right.
So I'd already had perimenopausal symptoms from the age of 37. Mm. So I had a very early start anyway. But I was about to go on air, and Linda Robson, lovely Linda Robson, fellow Loose Women, she says, "So what are you going to say, sweetheart?" I said, "Well, I'm not going to say anything, so I don't think it's anyone's business." And she said, "Sweetheart, you've got to tell them something. They'll think you've been fired." And I thought, I haven't even thought about that, because I'll be off air for such a long time. So literally, I managed to do the whole show, and the ladies know me really well. If there's a topic I don't want to join in on, what I do is I let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. Oh, we've run out of time, and I move on, and they get really annoyed with me because I don't say anything. And it was getting to the end of the show, and we were talking about something, and I heard, you know, 20 seconds. I'm thinking, this is great. And Linda Robson just went, "Enough about that. You got something to say, ain't you?" I was like, "Eh, yes, I have." And she looked, I mean, I love Linda. We all call her Nanny Linda. And she was like, "I'm not taking any nonsense from you." So I said, "Yes, I am. Tomorrow I'm having a full hysterectomy and I'm going to be off air for 6 weeks."
Oh my God. So you just had to decide that, you were going to declare.
20 seconds. Literally, you couldn't mess about.
I couldn't mess about. And da, da, da. And so I'm going to be off air. So if you're wondering where I am, that's where I am. But anyway, goodbye. Thank you very much. The end of the show. I'm like, "Linda, oh my God." And she just looked at me like, "Ha." So anyway, finished that, went home. The next morning I went straight into surgery. I was the first person of the day. What I didn't realize was within 24 hours, 10,000 women got in touch.
Wow.
And obviously I was told later when I got home and everything else. And something clicked in my head and I thought, and they were all wanting to know, why was I having it? What were my symptoms? How was I going to cope? They were going to go through the same thing. They were going through the same thing. Oh my God, they were now going through these incredibly awful menopausal symptoms and no one was helping them. And could I do something? And something flipped in my brain and I just thought, how can someone like me, who is so lucky to have this amazing platform, I work on a woman's show where we're so open and honest, and I sit there with my mouth shut and I don't say anything, and I'm actually in a position of power, you're shit, basically, if you just sit and keep your mouth shut. You need to do something. So my whole mindset completely changed. And I started writing down all the questions that they asked me and finding out ways to answer them. I got in touch with, she was a lovely lady. And at the time, she was on the NHS. So I was very fortunate, obviously, the area that I happened to live in. I said, "I'm putting a book together. Would you help me and do all the medical side?" So what I did was I charted my whole journey and then got her to give the sort of medical advice and then made it into a sort of rounded thing of, this is where I am. This is a journey I've been. This is what having a hysterectomy is like. So if you're going to have one, brace yourself. This is what you'll feel. And I was totally and utterly honest. I mean, it's raw. It's extremely raw. I was honest with, obviously, the physical pain, the mental pain, then the symptoms, then the recovery, sex, what that's like after a hysterectomy, what it's like after the menopause, and then obviously what you can do about it afterwards. And people sort of look at me on the telly and think, oh, she's, you know, like, I'm sitting here now and I'm all groomed and I've had my hair done and everything else. But that's me at work. That's not me at home bleeding and raw and feeling terrible. And I'm still going through it. So it's not something that just finishes. You don't just take a magic tablet and like, ta-da, it's all done. So for me, I wrote the book to put it out there and help everyone else. What then happened was, and you'll know this, you write something, whether it's an article or a book, you write the end. I thought, I don't want this just to finish, because just because I've written it and put it out there, I'm not done yet and people are still coming up to me. So I started a website called thisgirlisonfire.co.uk. And we thought for ages about the name. We wanted something to show, okay, we're going to talk about the menopause, as in you're having a hot flush and you're raging. But also you're on fire. You're still amazing. This is just a phase or a stage, not phase, that makes it sound like, I don't know, you dyed your hair pink because everyone else is. It's a stage of your life, but it doesn't necessarily have to define you. And that is how I've kept the conversation going. So that then has led me to try and see if I can walk the walk as well as talk the talk. Because the whole website is about dealing with stuff and life is hard and getting to 50. I'm 50 this year. You know, this is an age where we feel our most invisible. I'm not invisible. I've got all this experience behind me. I've been through all this stuff. I'm a lot tougher than I've ever been. Still nice, still straightforward, but a lot tougher than I've ever been.
I don't know. Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Where's the edge?
Yeah.
You know, so that's what the website is all about. And then that, in a random way, led me to do SAS Who Dares Wins, and which has since led me to agree to running a race in my pants and has led me to saying yes to doing a one-woman tour.
Which you are doing very soon.
Yes.
Now, where can people go and see all the dates and get tickets?
The tour is called Confessions of a Menopausal Woman, which is what the same name as my book.
Yeah.
And the reason I called it that was because my first book was called Confessions of a Good Girl. And I thought, this is me so many years on. Obviously, it's confessions, because when you talk about the menopause, there's almost a confessional tone. You know, you did it when you said earlier, I know this is too much information, and all that. And we kind of hush ourselves a little bit when we talk about it. So I thought, I'm going to take the whole idea of confessions on tour, if you like. But it's not just me confessing about the menopause. Obviously, there will be a lot of stuff about the menopause on there, because I think we need to kind of hold it up and shine a light on it and go, half the population of the entire planet, if you're fortunate enough to get to this age, and we have to remember there's people who haven't got as far as us, will go through the menopause. So we'll talk about it. But also, I've got 20 odd years of telly gossip to talk about. And obviously, with the SAS stuff, I want to talk about behind the scenes of what it's like to as a middle-aged menopausal woman, put yourself in that situation. So all the information about the tour is on thisgirlisonfire.co.uk. We've put it all on the
amazing
site.
Lots to cover.
Loads to cover.
How long is the show going to last?
The show's 8 hours long.
It needs to be.
Bring a sleeping bag.
I believed you for a second.
It's like The Inheritance.
Yeah.
Or like in the Harry Potter play. You need to do it in two bits.
Absolutely. No, we're bringing a confessional with us as well. Because what I thought was, you know, a lot of people are saying, oh, is it going to be like, it's like an evening with, I suppose. But it's not necessarily a direct Q&A, but we're giving other people the chance to confess. And it's whether it could be about anything, but if it's about the menopause, and maybe they'd rather just keep
it
quiet.
If I were you, I would brace for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be amazing.
I think they
could do it anonymously
actually,
as well, if they want.
I know we had the Scummy Mummies, and I think you were on the Scummy Mummies podcast, and they said this idea that the British are very like stiff upper lips and don't reveal stuff, that's a myth.
Yeah.
You know, they will get out there and they will reveal stuff. So like, prepare yourself, Andrew.
Oh,
gird your
it.
Loins.
But you see, I'm used to it because I get women stopping me in public loos.
Yeah.
And they'll literally do a double take and go, oh my God, you're that woman.
You're the loose woman.
You're the loose woman.
You're the one
on the end.
Yeah.
And they tell me stuff. Yeah. I mean, Martini girl is listening, hi. That's a story all about the menopause. She'll know who she is.
I want to know who the Martini girl is. I'm guessing it's not like the Fiji water girl.
I hope it's not me.
No.
Yeah, it could well be.
Did you have one too many martinis in San Andreas or something?
Yeah, quite possibly. Yeah.
Well, look, do check out the book. Check out the tour date on thisgirlisonfire.com.
.co.uk.
.co.uk, that's very important. Well, good luck with it, Andrew. Thank you, because you're such a pro.
Be great.
It is. I don't want to come. I want to hear all this, the juice, about all the gossip about the idea. Well, we're going to get some out
really
at you now.
Pray
gonna,
for any men in the audience of that show.
We're going to do some, like, hopefully some gentle prodding, especially for the SAS. I want to know all about that.
Okay.
So, but let's do some topics, shall we? We're really
great.
Here for. Let's get on to it.
Right. Andrew McLean.
James Williams. We go way back,
that's
believe it or not.
Fog, you'll know about that, won't you?
I've got a really good book about that.
The menopausal fog.
I'm just going to embrace it and just blame everything on that. Anyway, I know that's James Williams and that's Andrew McLean. Is it just me, guys, who makes plans sometimes knowing at the point that I'm making the plans that I'm probably going to cancel them? That's terrible, isn't it?
Where are you on this one? I know where I am. I'm the person that envies people that can do that, because I'm the person that stupidly agrees to them and then feels guilt-tripped into going, when in fact I just don't want to.
I am the person who is wildly enthusiastic and says yes, 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 and the inside of my brain is going, what are you doing? why is your mouth saying that? You have no intention of going. None. And then on the evening of it, I'll be racked with guilt. But I will always cancel. I won't just not show up.
No, if I'm going to cancel, if I'm sort of like saying yes and thinking, oh God, I really don't know if I'm going to be in the mood for that. I won't leave it until the last day. I'll sort of like factor in so that there's a plausible set of events that mean that suddenly I have to cancel.
Yeah. But then I don't enjoy not going. It's not like I don't go then I'm happy about it. I feel terrible.
Oh no, I love a cancelled evening. Well, I love it.
I like it when people cancel me.
Oh, yeah. The relief sweet relief is lovely, isn't it? When it's not on you, that guilt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, really good.
Yes.
See, I have to be honest. I don't think I am that person, although
I
have
to
tried.
Think if I've ever done it to James. I probably have.
I'm trying a lot more now to be a lot more honest. Because I was terrible for always saying yes. And my friends are often saying to me, why do you say yes to everything? Because I've got certain friends who literally don't feel guilty about any of these kind of things. Oh. They just say no. And I was always that person that would go to everyone's birthday and every wedding and every christening and every bar mitzvah, the whole works.
You're so nice.
But no, but then I really, then
where's
I got,
the
I got
the
point,
really nice.
I got, but I got, no, then I got to a point where was I was like, I was exhausted. I was really just tired.
Yeah.
And also not very rich anymore. I'll never be rich, but really it's expensive going to everything. So I just got to a point where I was like, no, I need to start channeling some of these friends who basically, and so now I have got a lot better actually at when I get there. And it's always on a WhatsApp, isn't it? If somebody asked you in person, I think my face would give it away that I didn't want to go.
Mm.
But people do it on an email or a WhatsApp and you go, oh, you get caught up in the moment. You say yes.
Oh, no, I'm the other way around.
Oh, aren't you?
Or if it's to my face, then I have to say yes because I can't bear that little flicker of disappointment in their eyes.
Right.
Whereas I'm much better at saying, actually, no, I can't do that.
See, I have no poker face, so I can't even pretend to be enthusiastic if I really don't want to do it.
Right.
So that's why it's harder for me to sort of bullshit in person. But what I'm now good at, I'm now very good at just parking it. So say somebody said, what are you doing next Thursday? A, anyone that leads with, what are you doing next Thursday? I never agree to anything. I go, it depends what you're asking me.
Well, you have to.
Because the people that start that way know that
it's
not going to be a really awesome invitation.
But I am now a lot better actually at visualising. Even if it's something I vaguely want to go to, I'm like, but hang on, it's a Monday night. It's 3 weeks from now. The clocks are changing. It's going to be dark. You're working on this job. No, you're not going to want to go. I'm very good now visualising where I'm going to be at. Because it's all about your headspace, isn't it? Everyone has good intentions.
Yeah.
But then the reality of life gets you down. Work.
Yeah.
Family, wherever, you know, and you just don't want to do anything.
I know. Well, like I say, I'm better at saying if somebody wants me to do something, you better ask me to my face because then I will say yes and I will go. Whereas if
Andrea, what are you doing next Thursday?
Do you know, honest to God, I couldn't tell you.
Oh, I barely know what I'm doing today.
But also, I mean, I will admit that I also do have friends that I have friends that. They make
that
plans.
That must be so nice. Well, just having friends.
Yeah. Well, no, what I is mean, that
what's
like?
That like?
But yeah. I've got certain friends that I know. They genuinely, and then they're good people, but they're flaky people. So they will always make those plans. But I agree to it, knowing full well it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
They're not going to come good on it. So I almost feel there are some people in my life I'm quite comfortable saying, yeah, okay, I'll say yes just to make you feel fine. And then lo and behold, 3 days before, it's like, oh, this has come up. I'm like, no, you don't say.
Do we all have those friends who there's always something in the diary, but it never quite happens?
No.
So,
yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I have people
I've
now
I've got
that
one of those coming up this Thursday, and she has actually emailed me today and confirmed that we're going out, which has really shocked me.
Okay.
Particularly the day before Good Friday.
Ooh, yes.
Oh, yes. But so far, it's happening.
See, I have certain friends now that if I didn't know any better, I'd swear they were catfishing me. Like, they've got to a point in my life now where we only ever have WhatsApps.
Yeah.
I never see them in person. I never talk to them on the phone.
That's so funny.
And it's almost like if I'd met you online, I would swear you were catfishing me. But because I've known you for years and I do know you actually exist and you are a real person.
That's so funny.
But it is weird as to how you can get out of the habit of seeing people, talking to people. You know, we've all become, like I said, I've mentioned WhatsApp far too many times on this podcast already, but it's true. You can go a long time without actually speaking or seeing anyone.
One of my really, really dear friends is someone I've known since we were teenagers. And we met when we worked in a bar. And then I went off backpacking and traveling and what have you. And then I came back and we ended up sharing a place together. And I worked in a shop and she worked in a restaurant. She was a waitress. And so we've just stayed buddies ever since. She's a teacher now. I ended up moving to London and doing what I do. She's got three kids. I've had three marriages, you know, where we've been busy.
Yeah.
But how we manage to do it and stay in touch is just the odd text every now and again. And it makes no difference. She's not one of these friends that you haven't spoken to me for 4 months. I'm not going to speak to you again. It doesn't matter. No. And what we've now finally arrived on a solution, because she lives up north. She lives in Chester. She'll get the train down to London. It only takes 2 hours. I live in Surrey. It can take me 2 hours. So it kind of works. We'll meet and go for a gin-soaked lunch that goes on for hours and hours. Then she will wobble her way back to the train and go back up again, and I will wobble my way back home. And that works because we realized we were trying to fit in too much. We're trying to find out, you know, oh, can you come down for the weekend, or what to do about the dog, or what, you know, bring the dog. Last time I took my dog, he weed all over her kitchen curtains, so that's not happening anymore. Well, also the dog died, so that'll be the bigger reason. But yeah, you're not having to worry about babysitters and overnighting. We made it a lot simpler, and that works.
But also, I think it's not about having those high maintenance friends, because a high maintenance friend, I think in the current world we live in, where there's too much going on, if you're going to be offended by a last minute cancellation or I haven't called you this week, you know, they're not your mum. Yeah. You know what I mean? You shouldn't feel guilt tripped into if you're not being.
I do have a friend like that.
Yeah.
And I think we've all got friends.
Yeah,
like
we
that.
Do. But yeah, so, I mean, you know, how do I feel about this one to wrap it up? So yes, I mean, I think it's totally fine to be that person who makes
plans.
It's
probably not that great, is it? But I think because the spirit is there and I don't want to miss out, but as the day gets closer, I give myself the option.
And also I think going back to what I just said. Yeah, and what I just said was if you surround yourself with very low maintenance friends, they're never going to give you shit about it, are they? Basically.
And they don't really notice if I'm there or not half the time.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
But if you are sat at home or sat anywhere in the world listening to this podcast and you're sat there thinking, what awful people, I cannot believe they schedule cancel plans. Don't tell us. But if you are those people then do send us a lovely email to the usual email address.
Email us and agree with everything we say.
Yeah, that's a good rule of thumb to live by.
I like that. I'm going to email you.
Email us, Andrew. We'd love to hear from you.
Okay.
The email address is, as always, isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com. Get in touch. We'd love to hear from you.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I have a question for you.
Fire away, Miss McLean.
Is it just me, or do you ache all over? I mean, all
is it just
over?
Our age, do you think?
I know.
This is the question.
This is the thing. Am I ill, or am I just in my 40s? What is it? Do you know?
No, I'm...
There's a very good reason why you... Well, how long ago did you film SAS, by the way?
Where's the biggest ache right now?
Don't say us.
My biggest ache at the moment is actually my knee and my ankle. Mm. And it's because I've started running and I've never run before. Ooh. And it's because I'm training for the Vitality 1000, which is taking place, I think it's the 27th.
Do your stretches, Andrea.
Well,
make sure
mistake.
You do your stretches. Honestly,
Why does anybody run?
As somebody who ran a half marathon, I still don't understand how anyone does a full marathon. I did not do enough of stretching.
I don't know how anybody does any,
so
even 2 minutes of a marathon. Yeah.
I did 3K this morning and one, well I feel done. Like I deserve at least a bronze.
Mm.
I've How some am I going to get up to 10?
Some people aren't designed to run. That's the other thing I've realised. Some people just aren't. Because I was
That's
saying,
not very motivating. No, I know, when sorry. She's about to do a,
it's
a,
fine.
A bloody
do her stretches. If you do your stretches and you know, your foam roller. Have you invested in a foam roller?
I have got a foam roller.
And I know it seems boring and it seems quite painful. It
does. It really hurts.
But Andrea, honestly, do it now because it's better than any long-term damage. Honestly, because I've recently did my... I pulled my calf muscle. We had to cancel the podcast recording because I tore a calf muscle a few weeks ago.
It's running on asphalt as well, though, I think. Running on any sort of like
concrete.
Only run on
asphalt when I fall over.
Yeah, I just think it's not very good for the old shock absorbing in the knees.
I know. No, true. My knees are really sore. My ankle is really sore. But yeah, so that's what's aching. But, and it's just my whole body hurts. And also, my joints have started to hurt and I swear to God that I'm getting arthritis. And I know arthritis runs in my family and I'm a few months away from 50 and I've started Googling it. Is this about the right age where you start getting arthritis?
I've got it in my knees. And I don't know. I actually find the irony is that it hurts, but the more I keep it mobile, the more manageable it is. But then, you know, some people are crippled with it, you know. Yeah. So I think I'm lucky that at the moment it's minimal. Yeah. God, this really is... Hysterectomies, menopause, arthritis.
We're a motivational podcast.
Yeah.
Well, no, but I was going to say this.
Barely hanging together.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say this. I'm quite active, so I exercise most days. But because of this injury I've had, I've not been able to exercise now for about 10 days. And I thought, hey, happy days. I'll be able to sit on my bum and finally just not ache. Because when you work out, you've always got some muscle somewhere that's a bit sore from the day before or whatever. I'm still aching 10 days later. And I'm like... Oh, God, I think I'm just at that. I think it's just life is just exhausting.
It hurts.
You both want to get into magnesium.
Well, this is what I'm going to say.
Have a magnesium bath. I've got some magnesium spray on my desk. Really? I'm going to douse both of you.
Is that like Epsom salts?
Epsom salts.
Everyone swears by
them.
Yeah, apparently, I've never embraced an Epsom salt, but apparently it's great.
Wow.
Can't beat a bit of deep heat.
It just smells so bad.
Oh, I love the smell of DP.
Me too.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that's a divisive thing, you know, because I'm the same thing with Tiger Balm. I loved, because I had a bit of a cold and a cough coming the other day and somebody said to me once...
Oh my God, this podcast...
I know. Eat your heart out, Dr. Hillary. All these... my friend said to me, cover yourself in Tiger Balm if you feel like you've got a cough or a cold coming. And so I slept in this layer of Tiger Balm and it did the trick.
Somebody told me if you're getting a cold, and I've never tried this, somebody told me if you're getting a cold, rub your feet in Vicks and put socks on them.
Yes, I've heard that.
That sounds like a load of bollocks to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the other thing we need to address, obviously, is the answer to all of this is alcohol. Because a stiff alcoholic drink and you don't feel anything. Yeah. I mean, this was the worry I had. I had a friend's 40th birthday the day after I'd thrown my leg.
Yeah.
And I was genuine. I couldn't walk all the day that Friday. And it was a party on the Saturday. I thought, I can't miss this party. I have to go.
Because you promised and you don't cancel. Yeah, exactly.
And also a very dear friend. But also, I just thought, no, you can do this. And I did feel...
it was like a big old showbiz party. Oh. Yeah.
I did feel a lot better that day. But still... I went and I took a painkiller, but I went and I did feel a lot better. But I had a couple of drinks, but it was the second I suddenly couldn't feel the pain in my leg anymore. That's when I suddenly went, you've got to go home now.
Oh.
Because I knew my leg was fully anaesthetized. I would do more damage on it because I would have started dancing.
You're
I would
so
have stayed
sensible.
Up till... Yeah.
I'd have been on a table somewhere going, woo!
No,
that's what happened to me that day. I fell over in M&S and then went dancing all night. And then the next day I could not walk.
Well, this is the thing. Yeah. So it's a bit like...
Yeah.
Because honestly, it's weird how adrenaline kicks in. Because when I did it, at the time when I did it, I didn't think it was that bad. I even almost finished the class. I mean, I stopped in the end, but I carried on doing the class for a bit.
Yeah.
And then I suddenly went, oh no, hang on. Adrenaline is a weird, weird thing.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But is your escapades with Aunt Middleton got nothing to do with you aching all over?
With my current pain level?
Yeah. By the way, she was amazing. Can I just say,
because
Joe hasn't seen it, I saw it. I doffed my cap to you because I thought you were great.
Thank you. Did you slaughter and eat anything or anything
like that?
No,
she walked down a vertical cliff. Didn't you?
I did.
You had
face
to climb
first,
up
yeah.
a very steep.
Is that not like the Toy Story? That's not flying. That's just falling with style. Is
that's
that
what
just
it
like just
like,
just sliding down a mountain? Yeah.
No, I actually did all right with that. There were what's funny? I'll show you the cliff. I've got it on my phone. But what I had to do was climb up. You know, normal kind of rock climby thing, which makes it sound a lot easier than it is. It was in the Andes in Chile. It was at altitude, so we were feeling a bit funny anyway.
Freezing cold as well, right?
It was sleeting, so it was absolutely freezing cold.
Did you sort of get halfway up and think, actually, I don't want to do this? You can't really change your fate at that
they're
point.
They're shouting
you?
At you, Joe. Yeah. You've got shouting. A choice.
And they've, I don't know if you've, have you ever watched it?
No, I find it really stressful to watch things like that.
It is very,
yeah.
Try being in it.
I was going to say, it's even more stressful than that.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
And I'd spent most of the night before crying because we'd had to fight
that
each other with boxing. I'm not a fighter. I'm clearly a lover.
Did
not
you
a
fantasize about killing him?
No, because you're so kind of in the zone. You're just doing what they say.
That was a bit Lord of the Flies, though, wasn't it, that moment? I felt watching it. Basically, just a bunch of nice celebrities you normally see on primetime TV kicking the shit out of each other. It was like, oh my
actually,
God.
Now I'm on board.
Yeah.
Which celebrities? Were there any that I hate in the mix?
I don't think there are, actually.
No, was really nice.
I mean, James knows all the ones I hate.
That's the problem. They should have cast some really nasty people. Then you'd be like, okay, I can get on board with this.
Yeah,
you're all too nice.
You're all too nice.
You only see you and Jeff Brazier
I'm
being
still waiting
punched.
For somebody to give me celebrity sort of Survivor meets the Hunger Games and then I get to cast it.
Well, oh, this wow. was a bit yeah. like that.
That's
it was hard.
Dark.
It was hardcore.
It's warranted.
It was.
So you had that the night before.
Yeah, and then we...
And honestly, Joe, they are shouting at them, shouting and swearing at them the whole time.
Oh, God, Andrew, can I get the job shouting and swearing?
Andrew's a bit like me in the sense that she doesn't cope well with people shouting at her. When people shout at me, I almost start getting tears in my eyes. Like, I'm not good with being shouted at.
Yeah.
And that was your thing, wasn't it? That they were just...
Well, mine was... It was quite dark reasons I've had... shouting before, shall we say. And what was weird and what I didn't expect was as soon as the shouting started, you know, it was a long time ago and I realized I hadn't dealt with it properly. I just kind of blanked it and put it in a box. But what was interesting was as soon as they started shouting, every demon I have ever not looked at, buried, but the box flew open and it was like bats in a cave and it was dark. And so after the fighting, and then we got I got hauled out of bed because you get to go and get interrogated and you literally get taken with a bag over your head and put in an interrogation cell and people shouting at you and all this
and
sort
you
of stuff.
Signed up for this.
It's a standard to cancer, to be fair. It is for a good
charity,
cause, yeah.
And you know, none of us get paid. It's all you'll do it for a great cause. But I did it because what I felt was, as I'm reaching an age and a stage in my life where I've put myself through some incredible challenges and I've done some amazing things, but I've only ever pushed myself to my own limits. I've only ever said yes to things I know I'll be good at or, do you know what I mean? Challenge myself to within certain boundaries.
Yeah.
And I thought this is an opportunity to really see what I'm capable of to someone else's boundaries. And I knew those boundaries were going to be so extreme that they were way past my comfort zone. I also knew I'm the oldest ever person who's ever taken part on it, whether it's the civilian one or obviously this is the first celeb.
But you're not that old.
I'm not, but because it's so physically and mentally demanding.
Really demanding.
I mean, in some cases, I was twice as old as the people on it. So I thought I'm not competing with them because there's no point in that. I'm competing with myself. This is entirely, I want to see where my line in the sand is. So there was a lot of the tasks. I was last, but I didn't care about that. For me, it's about finishing and about getting it done. The hardest part wasn't necessarily climbing up a mountain and basically it's abseiling face first. So you're looking straight down.
It was horrible
and I hated it. But it was that bit I just sort of mentally zoned into what I needed to do. Don't look at anything else. Just look at what you need to do. It was the shouting was very difficult. We got through that. And actually Ant and Ollie in particular, they were my two sort of interrogators, if you like. Once we'd worked out why I was reacting in the way that I was, that wasn't shown on telly. We talked it through. You're in there a lot longer than people realize. The next day, I was channeling a lot of that rather than recoiling from it. Every shout, I was reacting with an "oh, sod you," rather than a which is what I was before. But what's so interesting was I actually got I had to leave for medical reasons, and a lot of people we spoke earlier about the cold. It was actually because of the menopause, which a lot of people don't realize. If you go through the menopause, you think of hot flushes, but actually what that is your body's not regulating its temperature properly. And what I found out was when I got carted off the mountain in an ambulance because I got hypothermia, I got so cold out on the mountain. was that my body could not regulate its temperature. So I got so cold I couldn't get warm again. And I think that's what's so fascinating, is I'd gone out there to push myself as a woman who's had serious surgery, a woman who's had a, you know, bumpy old past. But I know I'm a strong person mentally. I know I can push myself. What am I capable of? I know I'm incapable of warming myself. Is what I found.
But you can abseil face first down a mountain.
Obviously, you did brilliantly.
And I felt like a bit of a badass.
I've got to say,
a lot of a badass.
There are lots of shows on TV where you see people bandy the word, "Oh, I'm totally out of my comfort zone." But I have to say, having only recently watched SAS for the first time, that for me is like, it's hard. So you did brilliantly, honestly.
Thank you. And I think what people don't realize is they think that once they
the camera's up over, you're off to the Hilton.
You're in a nice bed, or they'll bring you some food, or it is literally, once you're there, you're immersed. And they do not talk to you or look at you in any other way other than you are a piece of dog dirt. And you know, we're literally sleeping on a camp bed in a metal hut with one fire to keep all of 12 of us dry and our clothes dry, because obviously our clothes were getting wet and you have to dry them and then put them on again the next day. You never ever got warm.
No. Well, it sounds fabulous.
I know. I won't be signing up for it. I mean, we're talking about hurting. I mean, I hurt just listening to that story.
Yeah. So. I'm very tense right now.
The simple news is, Andrew, we could sit here and talk to you all day. But unfortunately, you've got to go off, and we've all got to go off on
our
lives.
You've got a VIP bike waiting outside.
You have. Yeah. But Andrew, thank you so much
for coming to
see us and join us on the show. Good luck.
If you ever want a fellow whinger, I'm really good at it.
Come back anytime.
You are welcome anytime, because we could literally do this every week,
remind
I feel like.
The website, Woman on Fire?
Yes.
Is that right?
This girl. We will get it right at some point,
sorry.
I promise, Andrew. Thisgirlisonfire.co.uk.
Like the song. Yeah.
Go there, check out tickets and where you can see Andrea on tour. It's in May and June. Mm-hmm. You're going around the country.
Yeah.
Good luck with it, Andrea. Not that you'll need it. It's going to be a great night out.
Abseil in every night.
Well, it is expected of you now.
I mean, my God, nothing scares you now, right?
No, exactly. No. You can do this.
That was what I thought.
Yeah,
exactly.
What's the worst that could happen? I could be really bad.
I mean, that's terrible.
You won't be. She'll be awesome.
I'll come and tell you all my TMI stories. Yeah.
Great. Thanks again, Andrea. And thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll see you again next week.
Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.